Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your wonderful presence. Thank you for your power, for your word. Lord, I pray that your word will be transformed from a letter, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, into our lives this morning. We open our hearts and we, Lord, come in expecting, Lord, changes in our lives. Father, I pray that you will speak through your word, that your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, lamp that guides us in everything we do. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. All God's people agreed and said, amen. Hallelujah. Is this working at all? Can you hear me? Can you hear me at the back? You can. Okay. There we go. I can hear myself. I can hear myself think. That's a good start. Hallelujah. Everyone okay? You just saying yes to just please me, or you just want to please God in truth and in spirit? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now we're hearing some truth come out. That's really good. Well, good morning, church, and good morning those who are watching. Are we on live stream this morning?
We are.
Oh, good afternoon, Max, all the way from Victoria. Our faithful brothers that follow us during the week and during church on Sunday as well. So we are excited about people that are understanding that whatever that is built in the kingdom will stand, and whatever that is built by man will fall. That's very true. Hallelujah. My message this morning is something that it's been in our hearts for a long time, and it's something that has been on the theme for our 2020. It hasn't shifted. We haven't changed. It's still the same. And the title of this message is, Man Shall Not Live on Bread Alone. Hallelujah. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Something very important that we must understand. Papa Joe talked about the word this morning, where he was stirred up by the word. And there's something that you and I, as followers of Jesus, must understand. That the word must be take precedence in our life. Church is not a social club for us to come and discuss some political correct ideas, or to try and test things. And it is not a place for us to go and voice our opinions. Church is never a place for you to go and voice your opinions, or even if you're a pastor or somebody that's working for God, it is not your place to change what the Word of God says, voice your own opinions, or try to omit from the Word of God and put your own thoughts and ideas into it. This is not a place for it. Word of God is what comes out as truth. The kingdom of God is not a democracy where you can come and discuss and omit a word of God. The Bible says, whatever you take out of this, whatever you add onto it, you shall be cursed. That's a powerful statement. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, when we understand the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ is the King of all kings. And his kingdom that you and I are in, his word is law. When the king speaks, his word becomes law first unto himself before it becomes law unto us. He himself is a God that abides by his own word. That you need to understand. That's a revelation that you need to get into your spirit. The Bible says in Psalms 138, I love this scripture. And I quote this scripture all the time because it brings to understanding who God is. Hallelujah. And it says in Psalm 132, verse 2, it says that he has magnified his own word, this word, above all his name. That is a statement that makes you and I see who God is. God doesn't change. God doesn't shift or change or have any shadows. You and I are the ones that shift and change. God doesn't change. So his word is so important for us this morning. And I want to speak to you this morning very straight and to build you up, because we are in a time and a season where there will be persecution coming. If you think it's coming, it's already happening. There's two things that are going to happen. There's persecution and there's temptation. Temptation to lure you away from God into the things of the world. That is called the great falling away. The great falling away is talking about those who are in Christ that are falling away. Not the world. The world's been falling away since the garden. But you, who have come into the kingdom of God, should understand that. When God talks about falling away, he's talking about you. That's why we need to really, really live on God's word. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. The church is a place where we learn to come, to be corrected, to grow, and to encounter God, who is not made after our image, but we are made in His own, in His likeness, and in His image. We are the ones that are made and look like Him, not Him being looking like us. Therefore, we have to represent Him well. I keep speaking like this every time because the integrity and principle of the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, is important. We can't live on the Word of God in some of the Word and allow other things to happen in the Word of God that we can accommodate. You're not here to accommodate your own ideas and your own principles and your own opinions. God is not interested in your opinions. He is more interested in His Word. That's why He says, you shall not live on bread alone, but upon every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That is a challenge. God wants us to start acting like Him, to imitate Him, to be able to represent Him well, to be able to reveal His glory that is revealed through Him, to Him, is it comes through us, you and I, who are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, that we can stand and represent God well. See, a listener is always good at evading God's word. That's why Jesus said, let him who have ears hear. And not just hear with your ears, but to understand and then to apply it into your life. I keep saying this. People sit in church and say, oh, this pastor is preaching about a word that belongs, that these people should come and listen to it. And we shift the word away from us and include somebody else in it and say, that belongs to Tom Jones down the road, or Ray Jones up the road this way, or that belongs to John, my next door neighbor. The word, when it comes to you, it's your word. It is nobody else's word except yours. You have the responsibility to receive the word of God and let it become your word. Hallelujah. Whether you know the word already, a lot of people say, yeah, I've heard that before. No, hear it again. The Bible doesn't need to be rewritten. It has to be reread and reread and reread and understood well. It's not something that you just read and then put it in your mind and say, yeah, I know that word. No, you don't know that word. The word becomes known to you when you're a person that applies it into your life. You can have knowledge, full of knowledge, with no wisdom because no application of life of the word of God in us. They say this word belongs to somebody else. Listen, I was one of those guys who used to brush the word of God aside and say, hey, you know what? I'm not that bad. I'm not the one that's committing all this stuff. I am actually really good. I don't commit those bad things. I'm not a bird person. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? My understanding of the Bible, the scripture tells me that God's argument with you and I is not that we are bad. God's argument with you and I is that we are dead in sin. And we need repentance. And we need the blood of Jesus to cleanse us. Hallelujah. The Bible tells me in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it says, your righteousness is like filthy rags before God. We say, oh, I'm not bad. God says, yeah, you're bad. You're not bad, but you're dead in sin. Hallelujah. His argument with you is that your righteousness is like filthy rags to Him. So we cannot come to church and say that word doesn't apply to me. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, whether it comes from a donkey, a dog, or a stone, or a pastor, or a visiting pastor, that word belongs to you. Receive it. I want you guys in this church, if you know Living Light Gospel Church, every person that comes to this church must understand that every word that comes from the pulpit belongs to you. Doesn't go to anybody else. Don't shift it to anybody else. Receive the word. Hallelujah. Because there comes a time when the word of God is the only thing that will keep us in the place where God wants us to be. The pull of the world is dangerous. And the persecution that's coming is more dangerous than you and I can ever fathom. You and I are living in a time that is so different from any other season in the world today. Hallelujah. The end of the world is here. It began when Jesus died and ascended up into heaven. The end of the world began. The last days begin. We are at the edge of it. The edge of the last days. My understanding of scripture that tells me that I am just like a filthy rag before God. the greatest mistake that any one of us as Christians or followers of Christ could ever make is to believe that we cannot make one mistake, that we're perfect. That's the greatest mistake. See, when you start thinking like that, you are on a dangerous ground. When you start thinking that nothing's going to happen to you, when you start thinking that, oh, this person had this problem, but it's not going to happen to me, when you start pushing things away and say, I'm okay, nothing like this is going to happen to me, then you are on a dangerous ground. Because this thing and this kind of thought will get you on the path of danger. And it will bring you into a place where sin doesn't affect you anymore. The conviction of the Holy Spirit doesn't affect you anymore. The still quiet voice of the Holy Spirit disappears into you don't hear it anymore. So Job chapter 5 verse 7 says, yet a man is born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly upward. God says, as surely as the sparks fly upward, you and I are born for trouble. Expect trouble. We must be people that expect trouble every time. Ignorance of man is to believe that he knows everything. And when we man is believing that he knows everything. Whenever he believes that he knows everything, he has just exposed his ignorance. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you this morning to have this attitude. When the word of God is preached, no matter who preaches it, like I said before, receive the word. Receive it. And don't just receive it and shelve it in some place. Put it inside your heart and apply it and start to walk in it. Don't look around and push it aside. Hallelujah. Therefore, we must be careful when we conclude that we know and understand everything. I don't understand a lot of things in God. I am discovering it as I'm walking with His Word and walking with His presence in my life. There are things that are too incomprehensible or difficult for us to understand about God. That is why God says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9, it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Hallelujah. King David was a humble man. I love David because he reveals his humility before God. And he's not a man that hides from or blames other people for his sins. He reveals it to God and says, God, I'm wrong. But listen to what he says in Psalms 131 verse 1. He says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things that are too high for me. What a humble man. David understood that he can only do limited things that he can do, but all the higher things and all the amazing things that come from God himself takes care of that. That's why you and I, when we go to pray, we pray in faith. Because all the signs and miracles and all the signs and wonders and stuff, that's God's job. You and I don't seek after those things or try to force it onto people. You and I pray in faith. Hallelujah. We stand on the word of God. We claim it into our lives and we continue to walk in the place of faith. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 34. He says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgment and his paths beyond the tracing out. Verse 34, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Hallelujah. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 and 14, for what a man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. To understand God, I said last week, the core of you as a human being is spirit. To walk with God, you've got to walk in spirit. That's the only way you can please God and grow in the spirit is walk in the spirit. Hallelujah. So God knows, the Spirit of God knows the things of God. So to understand God, you want to live and move and apply, allow the Holy Spirit to teach you things. Verse 14 says, But the natural man does not receive the things of God, the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. My friends, start to walk in discernment. Start to allow the Holy Spirit to do things in your life. Start to apply, not apply, but start to interpret situations that you have. If it's a domestic problem, solve it with the Word of God. If it is something to do with your children, solve it with the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to do it. Don't panic and do all things that are opposite to what God wants us to do. Discern things in the Spirit. Apply the principles of the Word of God into the situation. That's how we should be doing it. If you start doing it in your family, in your church, in your own little group, then you'll be able to take on the persecution and all the stuff that gets thrown against us. Hallelujah. The Bible says the only way to understand stuff that about God is to have discernment in the Spirit. We're talking about false prophets. We're talking about false religion. We're constantly bringing caution to the church, bringing you the Word of God so that you yourself go and take the Word of God, study it, walk in it, and then you will find that you'll be able to make decisions that are based on the principles of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Jeremiah quoted something he heard from God. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Hallelujah. When you ask God, Papa Joe and I have been talking about the gift of the Spirit. This is not something for you to play around with. This is something for you to be able to receive so that you can walk in that place, so can you can become a blessing to others around you. Hallelujah. It's for the edification of the church. And if you have a spirit of discernment, you'll be able to discern things and interpret it with the Word of God. Stop interpreting situations with your own opinions or what you see on television. God is never late. God is never early. God is always on time. According to His promise to me, in the fullness of time, God will always deliver. Hallelujah. You and I are always late, early, all this stuff. God on time, perfect timing. We can explain the inner workings of God. No wonder Jesus said, only believe. Just believe in the Word. Hallelujah. The moment man thinks that he understands God and knows God, he will try to manipulate God and change everything that God says in this book. And it's happening. The Bible said, listen to what Jesus said. "They shall call me Lord, 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 and I will say, get away from me. I do not even know you. Depart from me. I do not know you." He's talking about the church. Daniel says, only the things that are built on the true kingdom of God's word will stand. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about the church as well. Only thing that builds itself on the truth of the Word of God stands. Not omitting the Word of God and bringing something in that belongs to the world. I don't care what church it is. We cannot omit the Word of God and bring our own opinions into the situation. Hallelujah. That word, when Jesus said, only those who truly abide by my principles will stand. Only those. That's a scary thought, if you think about it. And when you pastor a church, it's a sobering thought to be able to stand on truth, speak truth. Listen to me. Speak truth when truth is needed to be spoken. Don't bow out and hide away from all this pressure. Speak truth. Whether in persecution or whether in whatever it is that's coming against us, speak it. Hallelujah. Don't bow down to men. Don't bow down to men's knowledge about the things of God. You cannot never understand God if you don't have the Holy Spirit. And a lot of churches and people, unfortunately, building the kingdom of God, they call it the kingdom of God based on their own opinions without the Spirit. Hallelujah. If the Spirit of God is living inside of you and is inside that place you call church, you will never succumb to the things of the world or the pressures of the world. Hallelujah. We cannot explain the inner workings of God. That's why he says, just believe. Just believe. Man tried to do that in the Garden of Eden. Tried to know more things about God. Man tried to do that in the Tower of Babel. See what happens. God is still God. Hallelujah. We cannot outlive him. We cannot outdo him. You cannot do anything without him. But this one, God says, you can study Buddha. You can study Muhammad. You can study all his prophets that came. Everything about them is so precise. Everything. They've written, because it's written by men. But the mystery of God, who you and I worship, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you cannot fathom the secret things of God. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal those things to you. That's why you differentiate and stand away from every other religion, every other, whatever you want to call it. Now, the kingdom of God separates itself because the kingdom of God operates with the Holy Spirit. And only those who carry the Holy Spirit, understands the Holy Spirit, spend time with the Holy Spirit in prayer, in fasting, in doing all these things, they can hear the voice of God and understand what God needs for the church. Hallelujah. Therefore, we see the limitations of our understanding must give way to the spiritual discernment if we are to understand wisdom, knowledge, and revelation. Hallelujah. We cannot do that except by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is called revelation. Definition of revelation is what? God determines and wills or allows to tell us. That's why your prayer life is important. That's why reading the Word of God is important. That's why fellowshipping is important. You cannot isolate yourself from true fellowship and expect to survive. Hallelujah. Revelation, unless God allows himself to tell you something, all you have is information. This is a wonderful book of information right here. It's called the Constitution of the Kingdom that you and I live in. But Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. He came to bring the spirit of it. You and I are spirit people. So every time we read the letter, we read the spirit of the letter. Hallelujah. We allow the spirit of the letter to teach us the things of God. This is not about religion. This is about your relationship with the Father God and with the kingdom of God. Revelation is information. It's only information until the truth is revealed to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then it becomes revelation. And when revelation happens to you, you go and you receive the word of God this morning. You go and the Bible says, seek after understanding. Go after understanding. What's understanding? Studying the Bible, reading it, applying it into your life, and then you start to walk in wisdom. God calls it that. We become people of wisdom. We represent God well. People are looking for the true representative of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Revelation can only come from God. That's why Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says, when Paul prayed for the church, he says in verse 17, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Listen to me. Stop living a lifestyle that you think is going to take you through casually. The things that are going to come against the church, it's not something that you've ever seen in your lifetime. So these kind of things that we're bringing to you, these kind of words that we're bringing to you, is to prepare you, hallelujah, not just you, all of us that are involved in the kingdom of God must prepare ourselves for what's coming, hallelujah. And so God wants you to live on every word that comes out from his mouth, not just on bread. Paul says the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. In other words, God himself has to give you the revelation for you to understand. Revelation is always a result of faith. What does that mean? That means that faith precedes revelation. You don't see to believe. You believe first and then you see. That's how faith works. Hallelujah. Our world and the kingdom of God operates totally opposite to how the world does. The world says you see it first and you believe it. Jesus said, no, no, no. You believe first. Hallelujah. When you believe, then you shall see it. That's revelation. That's faith. We used to think that we move from seeing to believing, but the revelation does not work that way. Revelation comes from first believing the word of God and then seeing the manifestation of it happening before your eyes. Hallelujah. That's why it gives you great confidence that God is never late. God is never early. God is on time, perfect time. Hallelujah.
God, the Almighty God, the God of eternity, created all these amazing things and then created time, placed himself in time. You and I live in the time zone. He brought himself into the time zone to live in the time zone with us. But he sees eternity inside the time zone. Tells us about it too. So we should be very encouraged about this and not to worry about what you're seeing on newspaper and what you're reading in news and all this stuff that's happening. Hallelujah. You worried about the election is in America? God is in control. Hallelujah. God didn't rise up a man just to end it just like that. Everything that's going to be revealed, that is created by the enemy will be revealed. Before God can destroy something, he has to reveal it first and then destroy it so the whole world can see it. So, watch and pray. That's your job. Watch and pray. Therefore, we should not be getting by any excuses in life. Life is not for you to just use excuses to leave. We must become people of full understanding of the Word of God. No excuses. The most embarrassing thing is that we cannot blame the devil for anything that happens to us. You can hear me saying this church a lot. Stop blaming the devil. Leave the poor guy alone. He's had enough blaming already. He knows where he's going to end up. So stop blaming him and start applying principles in your life and choose from right and wrong. You still have the power to make the right choices in life. The most embarrassing thing is we blame him. Well, Jesus said, I have given you what? Authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all power of enemy. Nothing will harm you. That's a good promise. That's a good reason to be finding excuses about blaming the devil. Hallelujah. We cannot blame our enemies. Why? Because the word says we are more than what? Conquerors. Not just conquerors. It's you're more than conquerors. Because he's already conquered. So you are more than that. We cannot blame our enemies. We cannot blame the weapons that is formed against us. Why? Because he said the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You carry that. You have that with you. You have no excuse to allow things to happen to your life. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Don't go quiet on me. Get excited for the word of God today. This is important for us to understand. This is not just some nice message and some nice sermon for Sunday. This is instructions from heaven itself for us to get it, get into our spirit, and walk in it. Hallelujah. We cannot blame things anymore. Every time God speaks, the enemy will always challenge what God says. Do you ever come across that? Every time God speaks, every time God gives you a promise, the enemy will come against that very promise. The enemy will come against anything that God says. Our battle is against an enemy that constantly challenges what God said. Did God say that? Did God say this? And we succumb to that rubbish all the time. We fall victim to his questions. Questioning God's word. Whatever God said is already what he said. That's why stop letting people's opinions pull you down. People's opinions about you does not matter. It's what God says about you. That's the one that matters most. Hallelujah. Our battle is against somebody who's always coming against the word of God. We see the evidence of that happening right now. Turn on the television, you see the evidence of the coming against the things of God. In schools, teach your kids up to grow up to be men and women of principle. They come back learning something different from school. That's the enemy questioning the word of God in their life. And he's doing that to you. So be a people that receive the word of God and walk in it. God spoke in the baptism of Jesus. This is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Then he spoke again on the mountain of transfiguration and he says, this is my beloved son, hear him, listen to him. Stop listening to Channel 9, stop listening to SBS, stop listening to all the fake news that's coming against you. Stop reading Kent's post, read your Bible. This is my beloved son, hear him. That's his word, study his word, get his word into you, become a living word, hallelujah. Represent God well in the kingdom that you and I are supposed to function in. God spoke, and that's enough for me. And when he speaks, that's enough for me. I received the word. I said, thank you, God. I'm going to stand on this word. Having this job is important, that we have to believe in the word of God. We have to stay strong in the word of God. And that goes for you too. God spoke, therefore he will stand behind his word to perform it. Jeremiah 1:12. He will fulfill everything that he said. He said to Jeremiah, I've spoken it. Now, I'm going to watch over that very word that I spoke to perform it in your life. Go ahead and speak it. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Study that word tonight. Go and read it. Apply it into your life. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. A God that is never late. A God that is never early. A God that is on time. The same God who parted the Red Sea can truly take away, truly turn up and make a way for you when there is no way at all. To us, it's like, God, where are you? He's right there. He's right there with you. Hallelujah. If we will only, what? Believe that his timing and his ways of doing things is the only way that will work for us. Our job, listen to this, our job is to wait in faith, in hope, and expecting that God will deliver what he said he will do. Believe in his word and believe in his promise. According to the fullness of time, God is never late. When you understand that and you believe that, then nothing will move you. You will be a solid foundation in the kingdom of God. Let me just finish off by laying a foundation for this very, very message this morning. And it's found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. You all know that verse very much. You all read it before because it's in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. I'm going to go through it quickly and then I'll bring some principles. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said that? There's the question. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Did God say this? Where did you hear that from? Did God tell you? Hallelujah. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, again, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took off its fruit and ate it. Hallelujah. Satan questioned the word of God. That is the first step that he does to you to start pulling you down. And the more you succumb to his questions without believing the word of God, the more you will fall and backslide and fall behind, and the great falling away happens in your life. It starts with a question when you start questioning God's promise to you. Did God really say that? God, are you going to do it? All these faithless words that you start to speak in your own life. Jesus said, only believe what I told you. Verse 4, Satan says, you will surely, not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That hasn't changed. People commit adultery, fornicate, commit murder, lie and cheat, and they're still living. Hallelujah. That's why we say, what can happen? I can still do it and nothing can happen to me. That's the lie of the devil. The devil tells you, yep, you go and do it, no problem. You will not die. Look, people are living in fornication, sin, all this stuff, and they're still living. Hallelujah. That's the lie of the devil. So what's the big deal, they say? In other words, sin has become a culture, and the worst thing about this is it's creeping into the church. That's what God hates most. When things like that you accommodate in the world, decided to introduce it into the church. It's a deception by the devil, and it's become something that we think it's part of us now. No, not on my watch and not in this church. is this rubbish going to happen in this church. Hallelujah. We will stand against it. We will speak against it. And we are not controlled by anybody to speak against it. We can do it. And I encourage you to do it. Speak against it. Stop succumbing to rubbish and make the choices of choosing the right thing that belongs and really ordained by God. How is Satan twisting the word of God? Did he really say that? If you disobey God, you will become just like God. This is what really what Satan is saying. This is what God, Satan is saying to you and I, that if we disobey him, we're more smarter than God. Hallelujah. The devil is a master deceiver. He is telling them, God knows, God is hiding from you the truth that you would become just like God. You think this is a nice story in the garden? This is exactly what's happening in your universities, in your schools, in your high schools, in your friends that you surround yourself with, in the people that you work with. Right now, the world is living that lie. Hallelujah. And the last thing for you and I as church is to succumb and follow that. And many of us fail to stand in the things of truth. I don't follow the things that are nice. I follow the things that are right and true in the kingdom of God. Verse 2, it says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. We have the knowledge of consequences. Eve knew the knowledge. She understands that there's consequences if you eat from that. But did you think that stop her from doing it? Consequences doesn't stop you. Doesn't stop you from doing anything. You still have the power to choose. People look at television and they see people dying of AIDS and all these diseases and all this stuff, and they say, it's not going to happen to me. It happened to them. It's just them. It's Dre Jones down the road or a storm, my neighbor. That's going to happen to them, but not me. I'm okay. I can still do this. That is the lie of the devil. Lie from the pits of hell. Eve understood the consequences. Consequences didn't stop her or didn't protect her. It doesn't protect us from anything. Why? The Bible clearly tells us that Eve knew the consequences, that they will surely die, but they didn't stop her from doing it. Here's what we should learn from this today. Even though you know what you are doing is wrong, and you still do it, and you know that it's not going to be all right, and you still do it, the point is this. Eve did not experiment with this sin. She did it. Sin, when it comes, it's not for you to experiment with it. She made it up in her mind and in her heart that she's going to go and do this. She wasn't going to go and experiment on it. She was going to go and do it. The enemy is still working like that in our lives. So we must understand that we must understand the consequences. Satan will explain away the consequences. Makes it harmless for us to be able to say, oh, you know, if it didn't happen to this guy down the road, oh, fine, we can still do this. Listen, the kingdom of God doesn't operate like that. God hates sin. God hates things that are of idolatry. We cannot bring it into the church and call it something Christian. Doesn't work that way. Hallelujah. And the third process when it all goes down, verse 5 says, Satan says to Eve, for God knows that in the day you eat, your eyes will be open. That statement, eyes will be open, has to do with your conscience. You're not conscious, you're aware of these things. There are some things that God doesn't want you to be conscious about. Why? Because your conscience never goes to sleep. It stays awake every day. And once you see something, and once you do something, that stays with you forever. And it needs the power of the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to transform that, to break that from you. But at the end of the day, people can pray till the cows come home. It's you that makes the decision to walk away from these things. Jesus said, rise up. Paul says, rise up. The Bible tells us, rise up and walk away from the place so that Christ will shine his light on you. The light of truth comes that breaks ignorance in our lives. Church, this is a really important message for us to receive this morning, or this evening, or this morning, this afternoon. Hallelujah. Today. You know, a lot of people walk around and say, oh, God didn't really say that. God didn't really mean that. God didn't say that. He said it differently. And that's how you misinterpret the Bible. That's how you read the Bible out of context. So if you're going to read the Bible, let me just give you one key principle. Is go and study the Word of God in Hebrew and Greek. Those are the words that will bring true meaning of the Bible to you. Study the culture of the day. Why did they say what they said? Hallelujah. And so it is relevant today, the Word of God and the power of God and the power of the Word, that we must still walk and still apply the Word of God in our life. People who walk in sin all the time always says, God don't really mean that. Or we can still do that, but we can dress it up a little bit. I have not changed from the topic. That's like 3 Sundays now. And it's an important topic for us. Let me tell you, the issue in the garden was not the fruit. The issue in the garden was not anything except the Word of God. The Word of God was broken on the day. The Word of God was disobeyed on the day. That's the issue. The issue that happened in the garden is not about the fruit. It's about the Word of God. It's about disobedience and disobeying God's Word. Isn't God, what God said is enough for us to walk on? Or we want to still search and find something that is not true? Temptation is against the Word of God. It's not against the same fruit or some fruit. The fruit is not the issue. It is temptation and it is disobedience of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. Remember, the devil comes subtly. He doesn't come in when you're expecting him. He comes in very subtly. We must be a church that always walk in repentance. I don't care how long you're in church. I don't care how many life Christians, how many people you got saved and preach the gospel. Be a person that walk in repentance before God. Bible says, consider your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. That's wisdom. When you're a person that walks like that, you'll be a person of wisdom. Everything and all this bickering and stuff that's happening, slandering in the church, we must stop from that. Because if for the church, for you and I to truly see the manifestation of the power of God, repentance, holiness, all that stuff has to come in play. Christians love to claim this scripture. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, let me read that scripture for you. And we love that scripture. We talk about revival, we love that scripture. We want to read that scripture and prophesy about the revival. What does it say? And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old man will dream dreams. Your young man will see visions. Oh, Pastor, I'm seeing visions. Oh, you know, I've got this and I've got that and I've got that. And everybody just wants to focus on that. Well, let me tell you something this morning, that this will change. This church will not go to Joel 2:28. This church will go to Joel 2:12-13. What does it say? I suggest we, our church, build our foundation on this word. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. That's the scripture we should be quoting. You want revival? You stay on that scripture. You walk in repentance and holiness. Render your heart before God. Hallelujah. That is the condition attached to revival. If we truly want to see it, then we start walking in that scripture. Don't go squat scriptures that are so powerful that you forget the pretext and the post-text. What did God said? What he said? For this thing to happen, we need to go back to what he said to do before this will happen. Hallelujah. These things don't just happen because somebody quote it and we're happy about it and preach it, and then we forget that there is a condition attached to everything that we talk about in the Bible. For that to be fulfilled, that has to happen. For you to see the results of that, that has to happen. So we're going to get away from Joel 2:28 and get on to Joel 2:12-13. I'm liking our prayer meetings. It's starting to become something that I have been dreaming and praying about in this church. And I believe a lot of pastors have been wanting prayer meetings to be like that. people refusing to leave. Hallelujah. The moment you come to prayer and refuse to leave, there's some changes happening in you. God is doing something. And God is building up something in this church. Don't lack. Don't slack behind. Stay in front. The enemy, the spirit of Amalek, attacks from behind. Those who are lagging behind will get attacked by the enemy from behind. He doesn't come in front and attack you. He comes from behind. So stay in the front. Stay with the battle group. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 35, my last scripture. It says, verse 8, and the highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. Hallelujah. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go on about on it. Hallelujah. Church, this is me sharing my heart to you this morning. I could not get away from this. If we can become people that are truly dealing with sin when we see sin and getting rid of sin in our lives, then we become true representative of the kingdom of God. You can stand proud and say, yes, I've got nothing in me, nothing inside of me that the devil can get a foothold on. I have nothing for the devil to stand on and accuse me. The Bible says the devil goes around accusing the brethren. You know, he stands up before God and says, you know that beautiful girl down the road called Joy? Or Janet? You know, that really pretty one called TJ? Or that other one called Matalau? She said she loves you. But just take those stuff away from them and you see. That's what he's doing. You think this is a nice story in the Bible? This is what's happening in our lives. Those of you who are going through problems with your marriage and your relationship and all that stuff, know one thing, that God has a purpose and a plan for you. The devil will not let you go because he knows that if he lets you go, he's in trouble. That's why you're having problems. So I'm telling you right now, get the word of God into you. Interpret the situation in your family with the word of God. Stop jumping up and saying things that will destroy every good work that you've built up from foundation up. I'm talking to somebody today. Hallelujah. Whether you're newly married or old married or how many hundred years in marriage. Enemy hates family. If the enemy can get to family, he knows that family is a foundation of God. If he can get to family, he can get to anybody. Hallelujah. Enemy can destroy the nation, destroy community, destroy a city. Just in family, just by getting to family. That's why you protect your family. You pray for your children. You stop wasting your time with other people. Protect your family. Put a fortified wall of Jericho around your family and fight for your family. Hallelujah. Pray for your children because God knows that you have a purpose in the kingdom. The enemy doesn't come to you against you because it's a nice idea. He knows that you have something bigger in God. And if he can start getting to you now and pulling you down from there, he's winning. So listen to me very carefully. Start interpreting your situations, your relationship, your marriage, your life, your work. I'm seeing miracles happening in jobs where there's persecution coming and then something is happening in certain people's area of jobs and stuff like that. I'm starting to see God fighting the battle for us. Our theme hasn't changed. Stand up for the battle. Put your full armor of God. Stand up. You got nothing to do but just standing up. Your standing up to the battle tells God that you have faith that he will fight the battle for you. Hallelujah. God is never late. God is never early. God is on time. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor this today. God is never late. God is never early. He's always on time. And then tell your neighbor, a man shall not live on bread alone. That's including you, woman, too. I'm talking about the spirit of man. But on every word that proceeds from the word, mouth of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. I want to pray specifically for people who want to stand, knowing that there's something for God, that they're getting some attacks. But they know, we know that the enemy doesn't come and attack you if you're just relaxing and having a casual Christian life. If you're somebody who's got something in you that the enemy sees that's dangerous to him, he will throw everything against you. Hallelujah. So recognize those things. We are spirit people. We fight spiritual battles. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Let's worship God with one song. Give the Holy Spirit some time. If you need some prayer, I want to pray with you today. If the enemy is attacking you, coming against you at your workplace or with your family, come and stand before God today and put a stop to it. Hallelujah. You know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Thank you, Papa John.